Welcome to the Maze Podcast, where you're joined by Nuhash, and my name is Nathan, and today, what are we going to cover, Nuhash?
We have a couple of topics. My first topic was, what the most significant event in human history.
Okay, so, do you want me to go first, or do you go
first? Yeah, you go first.
Okay. I think the biggest moment in human history was, you know, the bombs dropping on Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Why is that?
Well, it's because of all the technological advance we've gotten after what happened. Pretty much the 80s mm-hmm. and 90s, even the 60s. The 60s were reflective of how people were living at the time. After the nukes dropped, every country across the world were pretty much trying to get that technology, right? And from that, we got the Cuban Missile Crisis and the Cold War between all the countries and so on and so forth. And
question, though. I got a question. Side note. Do you think if Russia had actually gotten, their nuclear missiles on Cuba, you think that would have actually started a war? Or you think it would just perpetuate the Cold War?
I think it would have started something.
That's why I don't think so, because the U.S. already had nukes in Turkey. Right then, that's what the whole, the reason Russia was putting things in Cuba was purely retaliatory.
You know, there's an advertisement side to war. If more people across the world are on the side of a certain country, people will support that country. America had all of the political power at that time. Russia had nothing. But yeah, I think the U.S. having a certain support from the people across the world. Like, you look at Russia and you go, what does Russia have? But then you look at America and you go, oh, America has Hollywood. America has all these bright faces that that we can look to and say, you know what, that's America. This is how they live. Nobody knows how they live in Russia because...
Well, I feel like that's biased, though, because we live in North America.
I mean, I was born in India and I lived there for 10 years. I knew nothing about Russia, but I knew everything about America because that's where all the TV shows came from. You spent 9 years watching Seinfeld and, like, no Russian TV shows. I guess that comes along with English being a universal language, but at the same time, you knew nothing about Russia. I didn't even know who the president of Russia was when I, in, what, 2005? I don't know, honestly.
I mean, I feel like in recent years, it's a safe bet just to say Vladimir Putin.
Always say Vladimir Putin. But, yeah, there's a support that comes with being a big economic country. Right after the World War II, America became this economic
powerhouse.
Sure, a firehouse.
Powerhouse, fool.
Power. Oh, okay.
Powerhouse.
Yeah. Sure, sure. Economic powerhouse, and you can't look to Russia and say the same. The 60s and 70s are a result of the Cold War. So, and the Cold War was a result of the Nagasaki and Hiroshima bombing. And during the 60s and 70s, I made this point, like, to you before, is that the people didn't give a shit because they all at some point expected to die because they had no control over the politics that were going on at that time. So we had crazy, junky stories. You know, you talk about the 60s, like, I don't remember shit from the 60s. We had amazing movies. We had amazing music. We had amazing comedy. We had amazing cars. Like, everything that was cool was from the 60s and 70s. That's why that 70s show is a thing. And they made that shit in the 90s. So, you know, that says something. And after that, we got the beginning of the internet. Military working on communication tech. Then we have the dot-com boom. And now we have all this crazy stuff. I think it's all thanks to that Hiroshima and Nagasaki bombing because at that time, the Manhattan Project was the most technologically advanced thing humans were working on. Even the space race might be as a result. I have no, you know, evidence to support that.
Well, it definitely... the thing is with the Nagasaki Hiroshima, once we've discovered like the power of nuclear weapons, it really... Once Russia specifically discovered that, really fast-tracked the competition between the USSR and America. Like, the reason, like, they wanted to be the first, like, Russia was the first one to get, like, a satellite in space, so America was competing them to get the first man on the moon. Like, it was, like, it basically, it fueled a fire on both of under both of their asses, basically. So it was.
I mean, I'm pretty sure we wouldn't have our phones or the internet if not for that whole, you know, 30s and 40s world war that happened.
I said, mine specifically was the Black Plague. That was a huge one. Like, it wiped out a third of the population. I don't know if it caused, but it was in effect of the Dark Ages. And, I don't know, it seems so significant because it shows some...
You know what what it really shows about... During the Black Plague, you know what it really shows? It shows that the people at that time were completely disgusting. They had no sense of sanitary cleanliness, any sanitary thought. People were just throwing their shit out the window.
And straight up, that's literally what they did.
Like, walking in that shit, I told you last week I got Giardia, right? And the way Giardia spreads is through poop. And poop can get in water. If the water is not clean and filtered properly... Right. I'm kind of saying I drank poop water. But not on purpose.
You drank poop water.
Pretty much. Sure that's how you get these crazy sicknesses and illnesses and diseases because of these crazy bacteria that... thrive in disgusting environments, and people during that time had no sense of what clean even meant. Maybe they took a shower once a week, maybe.
I would have
hated to go back to that time. I remember our last episode was like, what time point in history would you go back to? Go back to that time in history because it's completely nasty.
Medieval time. No, absolutely. The medieval times.
Oh, yeah. You were saying, what came after the Black Plague?
It seems so significant. Because then, my favorite story, I don't know if it's true or not, but, my favorite story about the Black Plague is that if you look at a map of where, the Black Plague spread, I don't know if this is true, disclaimer, this is just a good story, I don't know, I've never fact-checked it, you can fact-check it yourself, I just like the story, it sounds funny. If you look at a map of the Black Plague, the two places you look that weren't significantly affected by death of the Black Plague, because they're literally everywhere else just red, covered in red, except for Milan and Poland. And the story goes, the reason why that is Poland was one of the very few countries, or one of the very few areas that didn't discriminate against the Jews, they weren't very anti-Semitic. So with the Jews claim the cleanliness, because a lot of the cleanliness in Jewish culture is it's part of their religion, part of their culture, you have to be clean and whatnot, to do prayers and blah blah blah. So they brought the cleanliness with them, and the reason Milan was didn't have that many plague deaths was because anytime a household showed a sign, even one person in that family showed a sign of the plague, they just set the house on fire.
That's the 21st century response.
With the people in it.
Spiders in your house? Nope. Nope the fuck out.
Yeah, exactly. It's
no.
I love that story so much. Imagine, the fear in Milan. If someone coughed. If someone sneezed.
That's true cleanliness.
In your house. That's not cleanliness. That's fucked up.
Okay, that's clear stupidity. Germophobia.
That's some serious germophobia.
Cultural germophobia? I've never heard that before. That's funny. You were talking about the Ice Age.
The Ice Age was a big one, too. I was thinking about, it's not man-made, but it's a significant event. It's a very significant event. Because if you think about it, I was talking about how, in Australia, how, the animals in Australia developed significantly different from the other animals of the rest of the world. Mammals specifically, they develop so significantly. They have pouches in Australia, where in most countries mammals do not. I think the only one you could find was opossums, but we don't know when those
ostriches,
were discovered and whatnot.
They have ostriches.
And that's over
the Great Emu
they have
War.
Anyway, yeah, they oh my god, that's so. We gotta talk about that one time. But yeah, you see how over hundreds of thousands of years of evolution when you speciate two different lines how it looks, how they change over 100,000 years. And you think about between, the Ice Age, the end of the Ice Age, and when Christopher Columbus discovered North America, 10,000 years passed while North America developed completely differently to the rest of Europe. And so, you think about, if Christopher Columbus or someone didn't discover North America, like, how would we differentiate as, like, as a human species? Like, how would we look different? How would we have evolved if we never came into contact with each other for, like, 100,000 years?
I can have a good story about this. So,
go ahead.
The Native Americans usually only ate what they thought they had to get, right? They would only eat to their means and then leave anything else. So if, let's say, they need to eat for a week, maybe they kill one yak. Okay? And they would completely use that yak to everything they could. The skin is for clothes, you know, the bones is made for weapons. They would eat everything, use every part of it so as not to waste anything. Then Christopher Columbus comes along and he goes, listen, I need to get back to a certain island that I took over and I have no food to get there. My people are dying. Right? And he knew that a solar eclipse was coming because Europe was much farther advanced in terms of astrology and mathematics.
Astronomy, not astrology.
Sure, astronomy. It doesn't matter.
Yes, it does. They're completely different.
Okay, they're Galileo. Let's just get to my point. And they would know when the next lunar eclipse was. And so the next lunar eclipse was a blood moon, which is when the Earth gets in between the moon and the sun, and the light would reflect off the Earth and it would make the moon look red.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew this, so he went back to the natives and he went, listen, my God is much stronger than your God. And if you don't give me whatever you have, my God is going to turn your moon red and he's going to destroy everything. And, you know, the natives were like, ah, screw that, it doesn't make any sense. Why would the moon turn red? It's always been white. The week comes next week, and the Native Americans, he's standing there and with the Native Americans, and they're watching the moon, and it turns red. Immediately, everybody freaks out. He gets all the food and all the resources he needs, and he leaves.
Dips,
that's it. And that, honestly, explains everything that Columbus stood for. And the technology and the mathematics and the smarts that he introduced to the Americas at that time. There's a painting of him just standing. You know how Captain Morgan has one foot on like a keg? There's a picture of him standing with his hands on his hips and like one foot is on a rock and the Native Americans are like bowing down to him like he's a god. And I find that one of the most disgusting paintings. Like, it's a great painting. Like, it looks nice and everything. But the message it's sending...
Yeah, it's just aesthetically pleasing.
It's nice to look at and everything. But the message is just so horrible. Like, this man pretty much controlled an entire group of people by, I don't know, saying he's greater than somebody else because of his scientific knowledge. Because these people are scientifically illiterate, they're somehow worse than you are.
Oh yeah, that man had an ego on him.
I don't know. That's pretty much going back to your point, the idea of Europe coming here and what would happen if they hadn't met for 100 years.
100,000 years.
100,000 years, right. And you can imagine from that scenario, if that didn't happen, I think the Native Americans would have been much better off. Maybe they would have evolved much more slowly and they would have discovered things much more slowly. But they would have been much better off. It's my opinion, anyway.
Okay, so I actually have another topic as well. Let's move on to the next topic. Your favorite show as a kid, and have you watched it recently?
Oh my god, I told you guys about Voltron!
Oh my god.
The new Voltron show on Netflix is so good. It's made by the guys who made The Last Airbender and Korra and Young Justice. Or, I think the writers and the director of the last couple episodes of The Last Airbender.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how those last four episodes go in The Last Airbender?
Oh god, it's so
good. It's amazing, and it's like that, except the whole show.
Yeah. For those who haven't watched, I would highly recommend The Last Airbender, and like the first and the third and fourth season of Legend of Korra. The second season is
very filler. What do you think is your biggest issue with Legend of Korra?
How are you already changing topics?
We're not changing topics, we're still on the topic, I'm just saying.
Okay, well, first of all, they only plan to do one season. So you realize at the end of the first season, like, they were meant to, like, this was just, like, for the fans. and they were just going to end it off there, but then Nickelodeon, or somebody, was like, yeah, we can make more of this. We can make money off of this. So then you go into the second season, and it's just all... Because by the beginning of second season, they have a plan for the next three seasons, which second season is all filler. Like, it's all set up. It's like, okay, well, okay, spoilers. Actually, I'll try to walk around the spoilers, but like, okay, like, this significant character, quote-unquote, dies, and so all these characters that you had from the like Last Airbender, like, you don't see them anymore. And, like, you could tell the plot for the second season, it wasn't interesting at all. It was just literally like, a bunch of shit's happening, but we need this all this shit to happen so that we can do this a good third and fourth season. And you get to the third season, and it's just a stripped down narrative. Like, because the Last Airbender, and like even the beginning of Legend of Korra, she's like overpowered and has all these abilities, and like, it's like she seems incredible, like so strong. Like she's a fucking avatar, and like she already, like, it took Aang four seasons to master the Avatar State. She mastered it in like a season.
She's badass. Korra's badass.
Yeah, exactly. She's badass, and then she gets us to fight this one villain, who's like old as fuck. But he's so, not only is he a villain, but like he's so laid back. You see the humanity in him, and then even his message is just like you. He's going at him in like kind of like a fucked up manner, but like you understand to some level. No, not Unalaq. It's Unalaq's second season. I'm talking about Amon. That's first season. What's his name? Zaheer. Oh, he was such a cool villain. And, like, he was in, like, overpowered. Like, Unalaq was overpowered. Amon had overpowered. They had special abilities.
This dude was just an airbender.
Yeah, he was just literally just an airbender. And, like, all he had was his knowledge. That was it. He was smart.
That moment near the end of the season when his girlfriend dies.
Oh, my God. That was... And, yeah, it was such beautifully written. Like, third season, you understand, like, this was an amazing season. Honestly, I would say that would be the best season. And then you get to the fourth season, and it's really good. There's, like, some filler in a couple of episodes where it's, like, it's a little bit of setup, or it's, like, we need this thing, because they're going big for the finale. And so, like, you realize, okay, this thing has to happen because... It's like when, like, Korra's in the forest with that character, I'm not going to say who, but a character. You could tell that went on for way too long. That was, like, it was filler, nothing was really happening. It's just her PTSD, which I appreciate they're doing the PTSD thing, but, like, they did play it out well enough, at least. They played it out well.
It was an episode too long, is what you're saying.
Yeah, basically. It was, like, it wasn't written great. Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't feel, like, momentous at the end of it. Like, oh, cool, like, you're, like, behind her again, because then immediately she gets her ass kicked by Kuvira.
Yeah, there's no empathy behind the writing. Because they don't understand like, completely how someone with PTSD would go through that experience.
Exactly, I don't know, it wasn't paced properly, but the ending was great, I loved it. A lot of people had a problem with the ending, like, I know Adib watched it, and he was like, I didn't like the ending.
No, but I think the biggest issue with Legend of Korra was the romance. Like, pick a route and go along with it. Like, in the Last Airbender, it was like, oh, Aang and Katara are going to be a thing. You learn that in, like, the second episode, and you're like, okay, great, I'll figure this out.
Bro, in the first episode, he, like, has googly eyes for her
and
immediately.
And then, I mean, they go through some shit, but in the end, you know, the fourth season, you're like, okay, well, that's exactly what I expected, and that's great. I was shipping this the whole time, and it happened. Great.
Hashtag Zutara.
Stop.
There are some scenes between Zuko and Katara, there's like a bit of sexual tension. And like with Toph and Thing too.
Toph and who?
Toph, and what's his face? Katara's brother.
Sokka.
Sokka. There's like the tiniest bit of sexual tension in some of the scenes, like where like into the finale where like they're on the ship and she's about
to
die.
No, but he was with Suki, get out of here. Suki's bomb.
Okay, but like, what? But there's like the tiniest bit of sexual tension. Like when he kisses when Toph kisses him.
That's not sexual tension, that's just friendship.
That's not friendship.
But yeah, I think the romance in Korra is what kind of brought it down. At first, she was with, what's his face?
What's his name?
See, that's also another problem. Bolin's brother.
Hold on, Bolin. Bolin? Mako.
Yeah, she was with Mako, and they were fine. I'm like, okay, great, now I can stick with this. And then they break up for stupid reasons. And then, because he liked Asami or whatever?
Yeah, well, he was in between girls, basically.
And then she went to Bolin, like, trying to get Bolin into it. And then in the...
Well, she's trying to get Bolin into it. She was just being a friend, and Bolin was into her. Fine.
If you want to see like that.
It was a lot of teen like, angst drama.
I didn't need all that in a cartoon that's about the Avatar. I just want to see her fight some shit. I want to see her go through some difficulties and teach me how to deal with it, you know? Aang taught me a lot watching him go through a lot. Like, you know, there was an episode in The Last Airbender when he's facing a spirit demon that's attacking a town. And
oh, the panda one?
The panda one. And
yeah.
I learned at that moment, you just have to listen to people first.
Yeah.
You know, this panda is attacking for a reason, and these people are trying to defeat it, but you just have to sit there and go, "This Aang is doing the right thing here. He's going after it, but he's not attacking it. He's talking to it first."
Yeah.
And you sit there, and you think, oh, maybe I should talk to my enemies before I really begin to hate them, you know?
Yeah.
And in Korra, you didn't learn that until, what, the end of the third season?
Aang was set up as, like, a child, like, a children's show, mm-hmm. where it's, like, it's trying to teach you lessons, but the lessons were at least adult enough for adults to watch. Whereas Korra, like, aimed itself in the middle, where it was, like, it was aiming for teens and whatnot, so it placed itself as, like, a teen drama. Especially, like, the second season, I just did not care for any of the Mako-Korra, like, storyline. It was so in there, so invested, it's like, oh, they broke up, they're having fights, they're back together, like, I don't care.
Like, I'm not here to watch Jersey Shore, I just want to see Korra do some shit, you know?
Yeah, and then like
Voltron is like that. Back to your point, Voltron is exactly like that. Voltron is just like the first. There's 7 seasons in total, and you know some seasons only have 7 or 8 episodes. Some have 13 because it's a Netflix show.
Right.
And oh my god, the first 3 seasons are pure action. They're just dealing with shit one by one by one, and you're like, this is amazing. I mean, after you get past the fact that 5 robot lions from space turn into 1 Optimus Prime and protect the universe, you're like, you know what? This is a good story. There's something good in here that I can show my kids and go, kids, this is how you should behave. And then near the end, it's just fucking amazing. Like, you just sit there and with your jaw open, you're like, Voltron, please don't die. You're like tearing up and shit. But yeah.
Okay, but like,
Voltron.
But I'm saying, you can watch that as a kid, though.
Yeah, you can watch it as a kid.
No, I'm saying, but for you, what was your favorite show as a kid?
Voltron.
When did that come out?
Voltron, I think it was like the 70s?
Did it actually?
80s? And then it was
on
Cartoon Network reruns.
Oh, I thought it was like a spin-off of like, a recent spin-off of like Transformers and whatnot.
I mean, it's a spin-off of the Thundercats, I think.
I...
And then it became like a cartoon, and it ended at some point in the 90s, and then Cartoon Network was doing reruns of it, and I, like, my... Trinity of cartoons. I don't want to say Trinity, but my cartoons were pretty much like Powerpuff Girls, Samurai Jack, Transformers, Thundercats, and Voltron.
Wow.
And then sometimes my dad would put on the Looney Tunes if I like my little sister was around. But okay. Tom and Jerry, of course.
Yeah, like all these cartoons you're naming too. Like I've watched a couple episodes recently mm-hmm. of each of these, mm-hmm. and like they still hold up.
There's too much cheese.
It depends. Like some of them.
He-Man. Like I'm watching a couple. Like He-Man is just. I can't do it, man.
Oh, it was so cheesy, and I loved it.
Can't do it.
Okay, here's the thing. As a kid, I loved it differently now than I did as a kid. Like, as a kid, it was like, oh, he's so cool. Like he has all these powers, blah, blah, and he's doing all these catchphrases, and he has all, whatever. And, like, now I watch it, I'm like, this is hilarious. This is so over-the-top cheesy.
Yeah.
Like, I can't. It's like one of those good, bad movies.
It's
bad.
No. This is just bad. He-Man was bad. They He-Man's were all bad. But
it was bad, but I love to. You could watch it in small bursts because it's just so funny.
You know how you remember when back in like 2008 or 9 there was like YouTube poop.
Yeah.
It's like someone needs to do a YouTube poop of He-Man and be the best.
I feel like I think He-Man is the YouTube poop of He-Man.
That's also true. That's very accurate.
Okay, but some of the shows were really good, like Powerpuff Girls, for example. I've watched Powerpuff
Girls.
It's
still good.
It's still good. So good. And then you go back and you realize all the adult jokes that they laced in there. and it gets even better. Like, you fall in love with it even more. That's what I was thinking. Like, a lot of shows as a kid I watched, mm-hmm. especially the early episodes, they had adult jokes in there.
And we just didn't realize.
We just didn't realize it. So, like, it was good. And so, it means it has so much rewatchability as when you get older, because when you watch it, and, like, A, nostalgia, but B, like, there are new jokes that I understand, basically.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know what, that's, you know, another good show that did that was Fairly Odd Parents.
Yeah, like, the early Fairly Odd Parents, they had I watched it recently, and every single episode, there was an adult joke in there, there was, like, adult humor in there, and, like, it was so sly.
I know.
Like, the kids would not even recognize it.
No, it's just, like, a line that's said, and then they just move on, like, nothing happened.
Or, like, they'll just show, like, a frame of something, mm-hmm. and, like, it won't make sense to the kid, but, like, an adult will get it immediately.
I know, exactly. Like, you're watching with your kid, you can actually watch that with your kid.
Yeah, like, early Fairly Odd Parents.
I think that goes for SpongeBob, too.
Oh, 100%. Like, I watched SpongeBob. That's the show that gave me the idea. Like, early SpongeBob, I quote that show way too much. Like, here's the thing, okay? I never realized how much I quote SpongeBob until I had to deal with my sister's brother-in-law, because he's never watched SpongeBob. Like, he's a Simpsons kid. He grew up on The Simpsons.
Well, no, everybody, I mean, how can you be...
He religiously, he can quote every single episode for you, like, on the dot. He can tell you what season, like, that man knew The Simpsons inside out.
No, I'm saying, like, you can't just watch one show. Everybody's okay. Seen SpongeBob.
No, he has never watched SpongeBob. Oh, no. Because he was, like, think about it, he's, like, 30-something right now.
Yeah.
So he was, like, I don't know. I think he was in, like, his teenagers or whatever when SpongeBob was around.
Okay, that makes
like,
sense.
It was, like, too old to watch it again. Right. Anyway.
So he's an adult, is what you're saying.
Yeah, he was an adult. He's an adult, basically. But yeah, like, I never realized how much I quote that show, because it's, like, it's so quotable. And then you go back and watch it, and it's still so funny.
F is like, for friends who do stuff together.
Bro, I've never I didn't understand, I know everyone says it, but I didn't relate to Squidward until I got older, and I'm like, this man's the real MVP.
Point. I was gonna make that point, like, I relate to Mr. Krabs so much right now, because I'm like, I can't spend money. I don't. Because I just need to save as much money as I can right now.
Exactly. When he, like, fucking, like, sells SpongeBob's soul for 63 cents, yeah. I was dead.
You're like, I'm in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah, my friends are gone. For, like, a donut.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, if someone offered me an Oreo, I'd be like, here, take Nuhash, take the podcast. We don't need this shit. Just give me that chocolate Oreo. Okay.
Exactly. But yeah, like, watching, and, like, you watch it back, and again, like, there's, like, these adult jokes that you just never realize. Like, so you still have the quotability of those stupid things that you found funny as a kid, it's still funny now. And now you've added, like, even more jokes, because, like, you rewatch it and you get the jokes. There's context now, but, oh, God.
I mean, I like that the context for understanding the jokes as an adult, as an adult, is to experience life.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it becomes a whole new show again.
Exactly. Like, you watch it again and you go, oh, shit, you're not laughing at the child, like, stupid jokes anymore.
Yeah, you're it's like, they're like,
you're just
the
laughing
little
at
whatever
the dick things that other characters are doing to SpongeBob, or like, I don't know, everyone's being stupid, you're like, oh, that, you know what, Jerry did that shit at the office, fuck Jerry.
Yeah, exactly, it's like not, as a kid, you watch it superficially, like, whatever happens on screen, it's funny there, whereas as an adult, it's like, you relate to it at some level, where it's like, that guy reminds you of this person, or like, I get this joke because this happened to me. Like, it becomes personal.
Right. Speaking of personal, there's a story out today that Mark Zuckerberg was using Facebook passwords to log into emails, other people's emails, and check them.
There's no way.
Like, for example, if, let's say a New York Times reporter is doing a story on him, right?
Mm-hmm.
He would use the Facebook password to log in to that guy's email and then check what his process was or what he was talking to his
His editors about.
Exactly.
Jesus.
That's
really
crazy. You know what, I'm kind of happy I deleted Facebook.
Did you actually delete it completely?
I'm out, man. As soon as we all moved, I'm like, nope, I'm out.
Well, I gotta keep it around because a couple of friends and whatnot. But yeah, no, I've been telling you this, bro. I can't talk about it because NDA. But like, one of my old workplaces used to work with Facebook,
mm-hmm.
and like the stuff I saw was like actually such scary shit.
That's why you wanted to leave.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, we need to go now. Because, like, they talk about the stories about, like, oh, Facebook's probably listening in on your conversations when you don't have, like, mic permissions to, like, Facebook apps. And, like, I could believe, like, the shit I think, knowing the shit I do know about Facebook, I could 100% believe that.
Oh, for people who don't know, Nuhash is a CompuSci major who's doing co-op at different
Comp Eng! How fucking dare
Whatever.
This is the fourth time.
I don't know you! But yeah, he's been doing co-op placements at different
companies. Tech companies, like startups.
Right, and what are you testing, use cases and stuff?
Yeah, it was mostly for QA for most of them.
Yeah, so that's why he knows all this. And
yeah, so
we had a friend group on Facebook that we would use Messenger to talk through, and we would talk, every minute?
Well, it was a group chat.
It was a group chat, and with, like, memes and, like, jokes and stuff. And one day he just comes out and he's like, "We need to go. We need to leave. Can we all leave?"
I'm that friend at a party. Like, okay, she's about to go down. We need to all get the fuck out. Get your shit. We're leaving. We're going now.
Get all your memes. Pack all your jokes. Let's just leave right now.
We're moving.
Yeah, and you didn't even want to do WhatsApp because it was owned by Facebook.
Yeah, WhatsApp, Instagram. I don't know why I still have an Instagram, but like.
I you know what? I forgot that I deleted Instagram a long time ago.
Yeah.
I wanted to log back in just to see if our little group was still sending memes to each other and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But turns out my account was deleted, and I just made a completely new account by accident. Logging in through Facebook.
Oh.
I know, right? You think Google's doing the same thing? Like, they're listening?
Oh, 100%. Well, no. I don't think they're listening. Their main thing is location. Where are you?
Nah, I don't give a shit about that. Like, you can tell, you can know where I am.
Because I know they've confirmed a lot of things where it's like, oh, we use your carrier signal or your Wi-Fi signal to basically locate you, even if you have location services turned off. Like, there have been articles about it. They've talked about it.
Like, what are they going to do with my location anyway? It's
well, they can track you. They can basically make a map of, like, what stores do you go to all the time? Like, what are you doing most of the day?
I'm not, you know what, as much as privacy is a big deal, I don't think that is a big deal to me.
That's a main problem.
Because what, next time, let's say I go to a club, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to trust Google on this, I'm going to assume this is what they're doing. Let's say I go to a club and they see that I'm at that club, right? Next time I want to go clubbing, they will recommend a proper club, like a better, not better, I would say like clubs around that level
other of, people have gone to yeah
that level of luxury and you know experience
yeah it'll improve your results basically.
Exactly. If I go to a certain grocery store, let's say I go to Loblaw instead of Food Basics, next thing you know I'm getting advertisements for more Loblaws. Like, I don't find that too annoying, but if you're listening into conversations, then you're fucked.
Okay, but here's the thing, it's slight paranoia, but it's reasonable paranoia, where it's like, I want to have some level of privacy, because if I give you all this information, if you are collecting all, not even giving you, if you are collecting all this information from me, a lot of the time, without my knowledge or consent, or my reasonable consent, I acknowledge the consent, and you, let's say, someone hacks you, someone gains information that I don't want to have this information, it's just, like, that's a bad thing for me. I basically get myself into a situation that I didn't ask for, and I'm trying to avoid it at all costs. And you're taking this all in the name of, oh, well, it helps us help you, basically. It's like, it'll help improve your results. It's like, yeah, but at the same time, a lot of these things I don't want other people to know, and you collecting it gives it one central location where they basically have the map of me.
Right.
Or at least my habits.
Right. So your habits can be tracked.
Exactly.
I think the issue here would be permission.
Exactly. Well, that's less 50% of the problem.
If I give you permission to track my whereabouts so you can give me better recommendations, I'm fine with that.
I mean, technically you do it all the time. It's just in the terms of agreement.
Yeah. And if I turn my location off, that means no, you know? As someone who's not technologically literate, I'll say that.
Yeah.
I'll say that in a simple... No means no, in that if I turn my locations off, that means no. Like, don't track me at this point because I'm going somewhere private.
What were we talking about before this?
Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that, I would honestly, it does not surprise me at all. Like, he's been doing sketchy shit since he made Facebook.
You think he's
like
a sociopath?
In what sense?
In that he doesn't understand how people behave, and that he
doesn't, he
doesn't understand social norms, so he's trying to learn somehow.
No, I don't think it's that. I think it's just like he doesn't. I don't know if it's not because he doesn't care or just doesn't understand socially acceptable behavior, or like maybe it's just like the blinding of money. It's like, well, I can make money off this. Fuck all these bitches. It's their fault, basically. He probably sees it as. I don't know. Obviously, I don't know for sure. I don't know him. Disclaimer. But, like, it comes off like that.
Right. Like, he doesn't have a proper sense of right or wrong.
I don't think he cares to have a sense of right or wrong. Like, because he sees it as, like, it's their people. They're giving me this information. It's their fault.
Oh, I see. I don't think he's a bad guy. I think he's just, he doesn't care.
Yeah, exactly.
I think he's just like, hey, listen, I'm gonna do this, you deal with it.
Yeah, it's not my problem.
Exactly.
So yeah, favorite show as a kid.
Oh yeah, okay, back to our favorite show as a kid.
I like how we got segued by Mark Zuckerberg.
Hey, listen.
If you have anything else you want to talk about, like, tech-wise, I'm down if you want to.
I know, you're a tech junkie.
I am.
What shows did I watch when I was little?
For me, it was like SpongeBob. I watched Arthur. I watched early Arthur. They had adult jokes.
If you have a library card.
Yeah, bro, those songs are lit as fuck.
All like, of them. That every episode.
All
was like
of them.
Legit.
Even the intro. Ziggy Marley. Oh my god.
You know. Okay. Oh, speaking of TVO Kids, Magic School Bus.
Oh yeah, that was great. That was like a good way. That was a fun way to learn.
It was a fun way to learn.
Because you didn't realize you were learning. They were actually humorous.
I think that was where my interest in biology kind of peaked.
Really?
That episode where Arnold turns orange because he ate too many carrots.
Yeah.
And they had to go inside him, and figure out why he was orange.
Yeah.
That shit was hilarious to me, and also amazing because you learn how cells worked.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it was just great.
Did you watch the remake on Netflix?
There's a remake on Netflix?
You didn't know about this?
No.
They remade it, but, okay, I'm going to disappoint you a little bit. They don't use Miss Frizzle, they use Miss Frizzle's, like, sister or cousin or something.
Yeah, is she still, like, the same craziness?
Yeah, basically.
Okay, I'm still down.
It's like Miss Frizzle will come in for the first episode and be like, here's your substitute, and, like, she's gone for the rest of the thing, but then you have Miss Frizzle's cousin or whatever the fuck.
Oh, I see, it's called Magic School Bus Rise Again.
Yeah, exactly.
But the old Magic School Bus is on here, too.
Is it actually?
Yeah!
Well, there you go, watch both of them.
Yay!
I heard mixed reviews with the new one, but I don't know, I've watched it.
You know what, though? I'm kind of scared for the next generation, because they don't have any good TV shows.
No, that's not true.
What do they have now?
Everyone's
we have, like, Paw... What do they have?
Says...
Paw Patrol?
Okay, that's like toddler shows.
Okay. Shows.
I'm trying to think, like, we don't watch them, so, like, we don't really know what there is. I'm gonna look it up.
Like, I guess Steven's Universe and like.
I loved Adventure Time. Adventure Time was a big one too. Gravity Falls, the regular show. Burton the Opera is still going on.
Thought it was canceled, but you know what though? I saw
No. They.
I saw a couple videos completely tearing apart Gravity Falls.
What do you mean?
Because it's such a cerebral show, apparently.
Oh, it's so fucked.
Like, apparently it's like Rick and Morty level cerebral, except the storylines aren't as gross.
Exactly. It's so fucked. It's actually like...
Maybe I'll try it at some point, but, you know.
There's also The Amazing World of Gumball, which is apparently really good.
We'll see.
Adventure Time's, I think, wrapping up.
I think Pokemon Adventure Time was good. I think we were still in that adulty phase. Like, you know how do you have a you don't have a little sister. I have a little sister, and you know, she would put on Nickelodeon or something and Adventure Time would be on.
Oh, I forgot, what's it called? Phineas and Ferb.
Oh yeah,
they had that.
Oh my goodness, how do we forget Phineas and Ferb?
That was such a good show.
It really,
like,
was
just,
I think,
any
that
age.
Show exemplified the any age can watch
cartoons, basically. Yeah, that show was so good. I'm glad they wrapped it up like nicely too. It didn't drag on forever like SpongeBob.
You know, the best joke on that show was the fact that how did summer last 3 years?
Yes, they were self-aware. I liked it. This comedy was good.
It was
Steven's Universe. Arthur's still going. I watched recently, though, and it was not good.
Oh, maybe the writers died off or something.
I don't know. I also know, like, the, I hate the animation, they cheap down the animation, so now everything just looks like it's, you're like those cardboard puppets where, like, they attach the hinges at the elbows and, like, the knees, and they'll just move those.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, rapidly. Mm-hmm. The animation basically looks like that.
That's, you know what? That's the issue for this generation. They don't have, like, good, well-animated shows.
Yeah.
Like, you know, iconic animations, they don't have any of those. Steven Universe, Adventure Time, they look nice, but, I mean, they're not... How do I explain this properly?
Also, aren't they remaking the Rugrats? They're making a lot of remakes for these shows.
Yeah, they're probably because they've been iconic, you know? Those are iconic shapes that you remember.
Also, technically, I'm very happy about this. They got their own Dragon Ball Z series.
Who did?
This generation.
What? Super?
Yeah, Super.
Super was... Okay, look. I think Super was stupid.
Why?
Because nothing made sense.
What do you mean? Nothing ever made sense.
You know, they had a god of destruction with them the whole time, and they're, like, fighting some... They were fighting... Okay, Golden Frieza, right?
Right.
When they were fighting Golden Frieza, and, you know, they could just... Even if they lost... Beerus would just been like, listen, Earth has really good food. We probably just save this place so Bulma can feed us more.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been it. Like, the problem with having an OP character as your boss...
But then people kept getting more and more OP, and it was great.
Like, you know...
Like, at one point... So first of all, you have Thing, who's... So you have the God of Destruction, then you have his mentors, who's stronger than him... And then you have, what's it called? Goku, who eventually just surpasses everybody.
Okay, now, then, you'll find then now what? They have defeating Jiren was like the most dumb shit I've ever seen.
It took three of them, what are you talking about?
It took two of them. It took Frieza, and it took Goku.
Goku, and then Android 18, or Android 17.
Okay, well, Android 18. Okay, low-key, Android 18 was MVP, but he didn't do shit.
He didn't do shit, but he's MVP.
Fine.
But what's it called? Yeah, like, okay, my favorite movie, though, from Dragon Ball series was, like, when, It was, I think it was like, it was a filler movie. It wasn't like a main movie. I forget what it's called. It's with, it's a Kid Gohan and Kid Goten and Kid Trunks. And, like, they have to fight, I think, Frieza's henchmen? Or, like, people are, like, the same level as Frieza. And, mind you, this is, like, but, like, they're basically at this point joke characters because everyone else has become so strong. Like, these are nothing. So you see, like, I loved it because they show, like, the power difference. Where, like, it's these two kids and they're beating the shit out of these two people.
Like, those two fat pink dudes that show up.
Yeah.
It's an OVA. It's not a movie.
Oh, it's an OVA?
No, it's an OVA. And, like, Vegeta's little brother shows up. His wife is there, too.
Yeah, like, Frieza's little brother shows up, and then it's like, he's laughing it off, like, oh, the level of Frieza, lol, we surpassed that, like, 300 times,
oh, this would be
like,
good 2 years ago.
Exactly, it's a good practice for them.
That was a good one, I like that one.
Because they realize, like, okay, they just keep getting stronger and stronger and stronger, let's just show the power difference. Like, also, I love the idea that they're doing the movie where it's like, oh, we had multiple, instead of just retconning GT, they're like, oh, it's a different universe.
What, with the new series?
The new movie.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the new movie, yeah. Where, like, they're like, okay, well, sort of to bring Bardock back.
I don't know, man. I thought, you know what? Dragon Ball Z was simple way back when. And it was just like, hey, listen. There's an alien that's coming after us. We need to go kill him. And every single time, it was like some crazy villain that comes after them. And they have to go and fight them. And shit happens. And they have to deal with it. These days, it was like... It's spoon-feeding the kids that grew up. It's all fan service.
A lot of it's fan service.
All of it now is just fan service. Like, I just want some cool new villains. Like, the reason why Dragon Ball Super was still watchable was because we had cool villains. Like, yeah. Jiren was a cool villain. Jiren's friend, I forgot his name. He was, like, a God of Destruction candidate. He was a cool guy. Like, that's a cool guy to fight. Golden Frieza, Golden Frieza is dumb, but it somehow worked, it was okay, like, the fight was good, so I'm okay with that.
Why was he golden again?
I don't know, there was another level of transformation he could achieve, or some shit. See, this is what I'm talking about, it doesn't make any sense anymore.
It never made... You never watch Dragon Ball Z for logical storyline. It's just cool action and, like, likable characters.
The only time in Dragon Ball Z where I was like, this shit doesn't make any sense... I mean, the whole thing was just a bunch of ass pulls, but at this... So you could accept that. You're just like, okay, that Frieza transforming again is just an ass pull. Mm-hmm. But the only point where I'm like, I don't... This shit doesn't make any sense to me is when Boo turned into Kid Boo.
Why? That didn't make sense to
no,
you?
No, it didn't. First of all his evilness came out of him, right? Yes. And then his evil version turned the good Boo into chocolate and ate him. And then he turned into Kid Boo?
Exactly. Absorbed all his power.
Why did he turn into a kid?
Because Majin Boo was like childish. He's a baby.
But the evil Boo was first, and he was tall and big, and he also absorbed all the other heroes. Like, remember when Majin Boo absorbed Piccolo and he became smart?
Yeah.
Loved that. And he absorbed, like, Gohan and, like, Gotenks and all that. It was great. I loved it.
Kid Boo is one of my favorite transformations, actually. Also, I liked how, like, continuity-wise, Dragon Ball Z makes no sense, because I like how all the Kais were, like, afraid of Majin Buu, but, like, you had, like, the fucking God of Destruction and shit, and it's like, this is child's play. This is literally child's play at this point.
I mean, why do we need the Kais when we have Goku and Vegeta, honestly?
Straight up, like, you don't need the Kais at all. They just die.
Anyways.
But yeah, those are the shows that I watched as a kid.
Dragon Ball Z, yeah, okay. What shows do you... What cartoons do you watch now?
No, I don't really watch TV at all. Like,
oh, are you such really a busy man? Shows. Like running business.
Not even just that. Like, I'm more on YouTube than I am on like watching TV at this point.
Oh yeah, that's true. You know, like, I think these days we can relate to anime much better than cartoons.
I've been meaning to watch so many anime.
Because anime, they're animated, but they deal with adult-oriented topics.
Sometimes, yeah.
Like Tokyo Ghoul is big.
I will say anime gets away with a lot of adult jokes, like straight up, like raunchy jokes, so much more often. Like, have you ever watched Samurai Champloo? There's this main female character, because there's three people, two of them are male.
Right.
One of them's a female, so, like side chick, and she is 14, 15 maybe. She is so underage. They make sex jokes about her all the time.
But it's funny because they're cartoons.
It's fun, yeah, but it's also like, we would never be able to get away with that. Because this is one. There's this one scene. Well, actually, Champloo's not a children's anime because it's like there's blood and stuff. But anyway, there's this one scene where, like, they're in the red light district.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, so, like, the other two guys go in to, like, get hookers or whatever.
Right.
And then the 15-year-old girl, is like, why do they need hookers when I'm right here? I'm like, girl, you're 15. These are two, like, 19-year-olds. I am so uncomfortable.
You know what? I think anime does it better, though, like, the jokes.
Mm-hmm.
When I guess North American cartoons, and when they make jokes, you're like, ha ha ha, okay. But they're not as funny as anime cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
Anime jokes, sorry. And and your point is made better by My Hero Academia. Mm-hmm. There's one kid who's just a complete... He's like... There's actually a line in the show that says he's the personification of lust. And there's one scene where there's a hole into the girls' locker room.
Yeah.
And he goes through specifically every single girl of the anime of that class, and he describes what's the best part about their body.